We on? All right. Welcome to another episode of You're On The List podcast. I've been away. It's good to be back, Pete.
Good to be back, buddy.
Yeah, you and Stevie G did a great job.
Thank you,
last
dude.
Time. Just right out the gate. Throwing me under the bus. Let me check. Yeah. All right, let me turn your yours up.
Can you hear me in yours? As long as you can hear me in yours, I'm good, dude. I don't even. Oh, there we go. I got a little bit more. There we go, buddy.
All right.
Oh, back of the studio. So yeah, you were not happy with me and Stevie G doing.
Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. We'll get to that in a little bit. Let's first off, I just want to shout out everybody in Chicago,
Chi-Town.
First Venuti's. I was there last week.
Yeah.
We had a Friday night show. Me and Frank Spadone.
Spadone, you see this guy?
It was fucking. It was great. 700 seat Chicago comedy tour.
Yeah.
It was a great show, man. It was a great show. And then I was back in Chicago.
Yeah.
At the Zanies, and I got to tell you, man, had great showings, dude. It's awesome, man.
Yeah.
The numbers were up. I apologize to the people that I had to kick out, but you know what?
You had to kick out people?
Shut your fucking mouth, and it won't be a problem. I still love you.
Did you have to direct the club to kick the people out, or did you, did you bounce them yourself?
No,
I've seen you do both.
I told him, I said, look, man, this guy, as soon as I get up, he kept talking to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, you know what's amazing to me, PDB?
PDB.
Stevie B. Is, how everybody keeps picking on millennials. Everything's millennials, snowflakes, this or that.
It's a hot topic to make fun of.
But the biggest assholes that I have been seeing are in our age range.
Oh, I agree.
And the millennial kids, they're such good, they're respectful audience members.
Yeah.
And they're not jerk-offs.
No.
Like, I'm starting to think that our generation is the bigger jerk-offs. Like, I'm not a fan of the baby boomers just because they kind of started pulling the you know, in my belief is America. You ever seen the cartoons?
Yeah.
When they're pulling the sweater and it's unraveling?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the baby boomers.
The baby boomers started
that.
I
agree.
And then we're just here. And I've noticed that people in the 35 to 50 age range are fucking jerk-offs, man. Not all of us, of course, and I'm including us.
Yeah. But okay. I think millennials, they were raised on the timeout. You know what I mean? So I think as adults, they kind of give themselves timeouts if they're getting out of hand.
Well,
whereas our generation, we just commit to being jerk-offs.
Well, I think that, you know, we grew up with 80s movies where there's bullies and nerds and, you know, and the smart-ass guy or the fucking annoying chick. You never really see that with the 20-somethings.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, the 20-somethings get offended.
Yeah.
But they're not jerk-offs. Like, every show I was at, all the millennials, like, there was one show I did in, it was like a corporate.
Yeah.
And there was a group of millennial kids to the right, and they were fucking great.
Yeah.
It was these 40-somethings.
Yeah.
These two women that were just like, I mean, just awful.
Yeah.
And then one of them had the nerve to come up to me at the end of the show and be like, look, I do comedy sometimes, and I know what it's like to deal with...
She was sharing some war stories with you.
But she was the proud. She's like, I know what it's like to deal with...
I was loud the entire time, but I know how it goes.
And it was
man.
Her and her friend. She stood up, walked in front of the stage. It was just annoying. But I didn't throw them out.
Yeah. No offense to women, though, but it's usually that's my least favorite table at a comedy club are the drunk, like...
35 to 50-year-old women.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're loud. They don't know. They don't have the volume control, and they are disruptors. And they will, you know, they're tagging
jokes. Women in groups in general.
They're repeating punchlines.
Well, you know
loud.
What? That's also an example of, and we were all talking about this, and you could say whatever the fuck you want to say about it, but ask any comic, any comedy club manager, whenever there's a group of women, they're always like, ugh, we got three bachelorette parties.
Right.
Or, ugh, you know? And everybody will tell you this. Everybody.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, you get rowdy jerk off guys every now and then, but it's usually one guy being a dick.
Right.
So it shows the women in power. When women are in groups, they feel they have power, and that's why they abuse it. That's
right.
Why I'm tired of everybody saying men are the problem. You know, everybody's the problem.
Right.
You know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
No, I agree. I agree.
Abraham Lincoln said, if you want to judge a person's character, give them power.
Yeah.
And when women are in groups, not all of them, again, I've been surprised
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you've had some good ones, but it's the younger ones that are the nicer ones. It's the women that are in our age range that are fucking horrible.
I agree. But getting back to the millennials real fast, Steven Aquavera, he wants to know the what is the cutoff to not be considered a millennial?
I would say 30.
I'm gonna just go and see what the actual,
All right, this is what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say 30.
You're gonna say 30.
Because you have Gen X, you have Gen Y, you have Baby Boomer, X, Y, Millennial, and then whatever
they're
the kid.
They're saying millennials are also known as Generation Y.
Yeah, and that's then, what I'm then, saying. Right, okay. It's a mix.
Right.
Because, at 30 is the very end of 29, 30 is the very end where they still remember when there wasn't the cell phone thing.
Right.
Because, not all of the 30-year-olds are eating Tide Pods.
Right.
That's the other generation. And here's the other thing, 40s and 50-somethings.
Yeah.
Stop shitting on millennials. They're your fucking kids.
Yeah, you did this.
You did it.
This is on you. This is on you.
But as a whole, it's starting to get annoying. And again, I've been noticing in my 20 years of doing stand-up.
Yeah, you're an old guy.
The crowds are getting dumber.
Yeah.
They're getting more disrespectful. The attention spans are getting shorter.
Oh, yeah.
When you see, it's like these, you know what it's like? This is what it's like. You know when you were a kid and you see like a wrestler or a football player and all of a sudden you start idolizing them?
Oh, yeah. I love those guys.
All right. I think these women, you answered that like a DJ.
Yeah.
I love those guys.
Love those guys. No. Wrestlers and professional athletes. Those guys, you got to look up to them.
No, but it's like these 35 to 50-something women.
Right.
A lot of them are fucking dope. But let's be honest too. They're better tippers now. They're better. But then there are those that idolize these Real Housewives.
Oh yeah.
And they go out and they're divorced and they want attention.
I think you and I talked about this before.
Yeah.
I call it the housewives factor, okay? And it's when women have, because they watch these shows and they
some
look
of them.
they look at these shows. And they start thinking that this is normal, that you can go to a restaurant, speak at higher octaves, and act like you're the center of attention. Meanwhile, you're distracting other people that are trying to enjoy their meal or whatever. But they've seen it on television.
And just because you're being
loud.
They've
seen Lisa Vanderpump do it, or they've seen, they've seen Kylie or Kyle. Or
it's almost like they're like this second childhood.
Yeah.
And again, to all the women out there that don't, that obviously this doesn't apply to you.
Yeah.
And we're not saying this to be PC. Or whatever, I don't give a fuck. I'm just saying it doesn't apply to you.
Right.
Because for every one of them, there's 20 of the other ones going, God. But I'm just seeing it as a common factor that keeps reoccurring.
Right.
You could have a quiet audience. But then again, on the second show, I prefer when it's a dude because then I could be fucking man. I can go man to man with him.
Yeah.
But this one guy, I kicked this one guy out right in the beginning of the second show.
Yeah.
Minute I got up, he talked through the first kid's act. Then he started to this kid Eric Scott. He's a 25-year-old kid just starting, just starting comedy. And then when I went up, he started talking to me. I told him to stop. We had some witty banter but he kept going and going and going. Within the first 5 minutes, 10 minutes, he wouldn't stop. I said, "Look, dude, just get him. Move him to the back."
Right.
Then when they tried to move him to the back, nobody in the crowd wanted him.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you
so the woman started crying because it was her birthday, and I ruined it, and the manager ruined it. Yep. It had nothing to do. She's like, "I'm just trying to enjoy my birthday." Listen, nobody gives a fuck. You're an adult. Nobody gives a fuck about your fucking birthday, you asshole. You're 35, however fucking old you are. No, what are you, 12? What are we gonna fucking everybody give you gifts? Nobody cares. It's your fucking birthday. Happy birthday, and we move on.
Yeah.
You're just another asshole that was born on that day. Stop. You're an adult. Yeah. Stop with this fucking shit and taking selfies in the middle of the show. You're a fucking adult.
Stefania says that women her age, they just have confidence. Meaning like I'm guessing she's referring to us when we were talking about the 30 and 40.
Well, confidence doesn't mean you stand up and draw attention to yourself in the middle of a live performance. Yeah. It's fucking rude.
Yeah, Richard Hyman says you have to have stand-up comedy etiquette.
Yeah, there's a
show etiquette.
There's just an etiquette.
Yeah.
It's just common fucking sense.
And rule number one is just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, being confident doesn't mean being rude.
Yeah.
It's like a guy that's a cocky dick. That doesn't mean he's confident.
Right, right.
Actually, confidence is silence. Confidence is stature and carrying yourself a certain way.
Yeah. Ashley says she was at the Edmonton show when you had to kick the obnoxious, disrespectful guy out. That was sitting beside us.
Yeah.
So she was close to the action where you had to kick someone out.
That's the other thing. Yeah, I told her. Was it Edmonton?
She says Edmonton.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Ashley would remember which city.
Yeah, yeah,
she
no. I was trying to think which my comment was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're not saying there aren't guys. We're just telling you, you can ask any comic when it's usually 95. No, I would say, what would you say, 85 or 90% women?
Oh, I would say about 85 to 90. Yeah, I think you're right in that sweet spot.
It's right in that sweet spot. Yeah. Ask any comic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But again, you know, look, it's alcohol. They get drunk.
The guys usually, whenever that's a problem, that's 99% alcohol.
Yeah.
When a guy's getting chatty and just like you were saying, like this guy's, you know, saying some things or whatever. And in the beginning, you try to address it by having some banter, but you're hoping in your mind that this conversation ends forever.
Yeah.
And after I address this, boom, you know, you talk to this kid set, I'm going to come in, address it. And then you want it to go away. And it's usually alcohol that makes that situation not go away.
So one more time, we're not saying it's always women. We're saying majority of the time. And ask any fucking comedian.
Yeah.
It was every one of my shows. It was always a chick, except the last one where it was a guy. But then, you know, they're easier to deal with. You just kick them out.
Yeah.
They don't cry. They don't yell. They don't be like, they'll be like, yo, fuck you, whatever. Although that one time in Jersey, I almost got in a fist fight.
Oh, you almost got stabbed. There was a great weekend.
Yeah. It's like two fights.
I saw like two people get put to sleep. The cops came to the second show. I also want to shout out here. Kimberly says, F you, I'm going to celebrate my birthday with Barbie. me and her have the same birthday, so we will celebrate our 60th together. So happy birthday to Kimberly.
Birthday. Yeah. Happy birthday.
She's hashtags I'm a doll. So
happy birthday, Kimberly.
Kimberly, you might just be making some comparisons to Barbie, or she might have a mental disorder. I'm not sure where she's at on that one.
Well, I mean, again, like, you know, it's funny because the manager of all the clubs will always tell you, and they always get mad at I was just laughing.
Yeah,
it's my how could you ruin my birthday?
Dude, the key,
they don't grasp the fucking concept.
Right, but the key to me is communication between the comic and the club. And you know, some guys have like trigger words, or you know, they'll say something so they don't have to say get this group out of here.
Yeah,
but if they'll say like a code word so security knows to take them out. But usually, what I think is if a club is running the room right, they'll send someone over, let the people know, hey guys, you guys got to keep it down or something, have some sort of like first defense.
If we were to do the hierarchy, first would be bachelorette parties and birthday parties is number one. Kiss of death, red flag.
If anyone,
horrible.
If anyone rented a limo at all, if there was a limo rental involved, you're fucked.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be a shit show.
Then would be group parties, and that's both male and female.
Right.
So first you have bachelorette party, and it's usually groups of people that go out.
Right, right.
All
right,
so you have to factor that in too.
Right,
and then you
got
to factor in alcohol.
Yeah.
So we have to look at all these things.
Yeah.
So first is absolutely 200% bachelorette parties, women's birthday parties, groups.
Right.
Before every show, the staff gears for it.
Yep.
It's like a fucking shit show.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say 90% of the time.
Yep.
Then after that is any type of office party,
right,
both male and female that know each other.
Now, the office parties can be tricky because a lot of times they, you know, people do want to behave in front of their coworkers, but there's also, especially around the holidays, there is a binge drinking element to this office party.
And there's also
– and the wheels kind of come
off.
And
it's also like, you know, kids in class where like – The friend is going to try and make the other friend laugh, and they try and abuse the comic, and they think that they're funny and they're in humanities.
They're using inside jokes from the office to match what's happening
on
stage.
And by the way, that's usually a dude.
Yeah.
Would usually be one or two dudes in an office party setting.
Yeah.
Again, 90% of the time.
Yeah.
And they would yell out because they're usually the funny guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's why when in a couple situation, you always hope the wife is there because she keeps that jerk off in check.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then the third would be the drunk guy.
Oh, yeah.
The guy that – I would say 90% of the time, sit there quiet. And then if you say something they don't like or they yell out.
Oh, yeah.
Then you say, hey, man. Then they're like, yo, fuck you. And then it becomes awkward.
Yeah.
Like you're never going to see a group of bachelorettes – throw a drink at you or want to fight you.
No, they'll just, you know.
They'll just be upset and act like, ruined their night.
Right.
You'll get the guy every once in a while. It's like, yo, man. And then that's where the altercations come.
Right. Exactly. You know what
I
mean? Yeah.
I remember one time in Minnesota, there was a table, like 10 dudes, and the guy was the boss. This was the scenario, I should say. I don't know what the word is. So it was all dudes. Guy started running his mouth. He was just being a dick. Then his wife was drunk and she was into it. It was like an office party. And then it got into this situation where I they were like mouthy. And then I said, hey, man, I said, how many of you are there? And I was like, there was like 12 of them. I said, I only need two more guys in the audience. And then it'd be three of us. I think three of us could have taken that party.
Yeah, yeah.
I just need two more. And then I had like seven guys go, you got me, count me in. Some Viking stood up because it was in Minnesota. And then we all went after him. And then they got thrown out.
I love when you incite riots from the stage.
It's not inciting. It's that they know, they think that in their numbers that they give, that we're going to back down.
Right.
And again, I'm not a bitch. I'm not a punk. I try to be nice. I try to be fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I still love them. I still care about them as people. I know they're drunk, but that doesn't mean you have a right to just shit all over the fucking show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree. I've seen you in many situations handle it in a variety of ways, but usually it does start nice.
It starts nice.
And you do wind up getting the entire crowd on your side, and then you just fucking attack. If the problem does not, you know, take care of itself, you go in hard.
Well, it's because now it's you know, I said this the other night on stage because it was after the second show.
You're affecting the show.
Well, I told him this. I said, look, man. When you first start, all right, you stand in, like we stand in line. You try and get 3 minutes when you first start.
Yeah,
and then you know you're getting you're doing open mics, and maybe after 2 or 3 years of open mics, the club will ask you to come in and maybe do a guest set.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you're all excited about doing a guest set. Now I was lucky a year in I was hired to MC, but if you now get the guest set, you're now only doing guest sets and maybe MC jobs for the next 4 to 5 years.
Right.
And in between there, you might get some fucking spots at middling now and then.
Right.
But it's not consistent.
Right.
So after 4 to 6 years of middling and emceeing or even three, then you move to either New York or L.A.
Right.
So you pack everything you own and you move to either one of these major cities.
Yep.
Now, again, I'm not being specific. This is just a general timeline.
Yep.
And once you get there, now you're 28, whatever. You got to take a job that college kids do.
Yep.
Because why? You need to earn while you're trying to achieve your dreams.
Yep.
And after doing that for the next 4 to 5 years or whatever, on top of that, say it like 9 to 11 years.
Yeah.
Now you're able to get steady work as either an MC.
Right.
And hopefully in that time period, you get a shot on a late night show or you start auditioning or maybe in that time period you get on TV, but it doesn't matter. But after you keep doing that for a while, you accumulate a name. And after about 15 years in, you start to headline a little bit.
Right.
Okay. And now you can quit your day job at like maybe 9 to 12 years in and just make a living doing middle jobs. But then you start emceeing after that. I mean, headlining. And after you headline for a while, you know, then you start to make a name for yourself. You establish yourself. Now, in this 20-year time period of I've been doing stand-up, I've lost relationships. I've lost family members. I moved away. I had to be humble. I was delivering pizzas at 32. So my set means absolutely nothing to them, but it's fucking everything to me.
Right.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's my life's work.
Yeah.
20 years. I'm not being corny. You put 20 years into something.
Yeah.
Right? You put 20 years into one fucking thing. Of dedication, of sacrifice, of humility, of fucking eating shit, of having success, losing success. And now, in the middle of my set, I got a fucking humor, some jerk-off guy or some chick because it's her fucking birthday.
Yeah.
Eat an asshole.
Yeah.
Now, in the beginning, it's fun. But if you keep fucking shitting on what I do, I want you out.
Yeah.
That's all. I want you out.
Exactly.
And if you're an adult, you don't know how to handle yourself at a live performance, get the fuck out. Why are you even in a comedy club? You know what I mean? It's her birthday. Nobody fucking cares.
Oh,
anyways,
America.
But shows have been great.
That's good.
Yeah. You know, it's a typical shit. And there's not a comic that would disagree with me. Out of 99.9% of comics that have fucking road stink on them,
yeah,
they would actually absolutely say 200% everything I'm saying is true.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear we're not all like that. I know that. Majority of you aren't.
Yeah.
Okay? Majority of you aren't. Majority of people in my age range, I'm including me. This is my peer group, are not this way. I'm just noticing that if I were to bet, if somebody were to say there was a disruption at the show,
yeah,
I would be willing to bet it's a group of women between the ages of 35 to 50.
Yeah, we covered this. You got right. it. You nailed it.
I would bet that.
Yeah.
And if I was wrong, I would be happy.
Yeah. I'd double down.
I would
split my aces and then try to double.
And say, yeah. And
then, you know what I mean?
And I got a 90% chance of fucking playing the odds. But the dude was a dick on the second show. That's why I, whatever, who cares?
Well, dude, shout out to Chicago, everyone that came out to support live.
But Venuti's was flawless.
Fucking Venuti's.
You know why? You know why it was flawless?
Why?
Because first of all, the seats were facing forward.
Okay, that's a good sign.
That is a good sign.
Yeah.
Because when again, the psychology behind it, if everybody's facing each other, chat and they talk.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know.
It's like a lunchroom table.
And you know, sometimes people would get excited and you want them to be involved. And then they may tell their friend and they know they're being loud. And then they'll be like, oh my God, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever. So they move on. Oh, it was all Italian, mostly Italian.
Stugats.
So they know how to behave.
Yeah.
There's a level of class.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
They know.
You get a jerk off guy every now and then, but on a whole.
Yeah.
You know.
It's fucking great, dude. The Italians know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They go out dressed nice. The fucking audience smelled like Izzy Miyake.
Yeah.
The audience sound like fucking Aqua
DiGio. The only Italians that make noise with one of the shows is if they'll just, you know, if someone else is getting out of line, they'll just go, oh, you know.
Hey, shh, hey.
Oh,
what am I talking about? Hey,
oh, hey. Oh,
he's like, up.
You know, it's basically one syllable, you know, an inverted hand, and just like, you know, a silent judgment in the face.
You never see a group of Italian women, it's her birthday!
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah.
They sit quiet. They bring their own treats.
Well, dude, that's great, man. I fucking love Chicago.
They're eating those little the fucking almonds that are covered in candy that you get at the fucking weddings.
That's the one part of the Italian food I just never understood is like some of the cookies and the, you know, some of it, maybe like because there was, you know, grandma had too much red wine by the time they were making the cookies, but. I never fell in love with the you know a lot of the cookies and there's like some hard candy type stuff.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're middle of the road with the desserts.
Yeah,
we got
yeah.
some phenomenal ones. And then there's ones
exactly.
Like, yeah. And you know, it's funny too. The Christmas cookies as a kid, I mean, they're so colorful. They look like they're just gonna be the sweetest things you've ever tasted. And some of them, they're like fucking chalk.
Yeah, exactly.
But then the Pinoli's are good.
Yeah.
Oh, the Sfogliatelle is nice.
Pinoli's I can't do. I get the throat closes up on that.
The pasta chot's nice.
Oh,
me.
Oh, put it out. That's what my uncle Ben would my uncle Bob would always say. Like he would just want the dessert out. Like you know, put it out. He would tell my Aunt Ro, put it out. You hear him? That just means like he wants the dessert stuff out.
Well,
yeah,
he has
we're
our,
ready to have
well,
some
this,
espresso.
Well, this is my favorite, too. My uncle has the cookies. They're from Brooklyn. I forget. I think it's DeFaro's or something.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of the bakery right now. But he has them.
Ferrara's?
No, not Ferrara's. It's a cookie place. He gets them all the time. I got to text him.
Yeah.
They're amazing. But he has them. But he does, you know, he orders them to be delivered, but he'll say shit like, I had these flown in.
Yeah.
like there's a guy on a plane with the handcuffs on here and the handcuffs on the cookies.
Yeah.
Sitting first class, protecting them. He has them flown in.
Yeah.
These were flown in. They're
And sometimes they do have, you know, I think I was telling, I told the story on the podcast, but when I went to go surprise my dad for Thanksgiving down in Florida last year, his cousin Joey's daughter flew in from New York, and she did have three loaves of semolina bread that she brought from.
So technically it was flown in.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah. That was her carry-on. It was three loaves of semolina from, you know, some bakery in Brooklyn that they love to go to. So, yeah. And yeah, and it was a scene. You were like, hey, we got the bread flown in.
Yeah,
you know?
it was flown in nice. Yeah.
There was like a carry-on charge, and like the bread had its own ticket.
It's fucking they pay for it. Dude, I'll tell you though, man, that the food at Venuti's was unbelievable.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Dude, it was two great weekends though, man. So shout out to Zanies. Then I did Man Cow in the morning, was great, which is like a Chicago show.
Yeah.
And then Good Day Chicago, the Fox
Fox
show. It was a good time, man. I can't wait to get back. I love Chicago. It's like a second home. I would live there if it wasn't freezing.
Yeah, it's Chicago, great architecture, great people, and just obviously great food.
Yeah,
really,
it's
really good.
People
in Chicago look at you like when you're walking down the street in Chicago, and Sinatra says in his song, like, you know, he's like, they smile at you, you know, people who, you know, smile at you, all that shit. But they literally do. It's like you're in a city, but there is that sort of Midwestern just congeniality, like nice.
It is.
They
say hi.
People do look at you, and I'm like, does this person want me to stop and talk, or are we just passing each other and we're smiling at each other?
I mean, look, Chicago gets a bad rap because of all the fucking murders, but, you know, it's usually concentrated.
Yeah.
The majority of the people, they're Midwest, they're solid people.
Yeah.
But you know, Jersey's great, too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure. But
the Northeast, we're always looking for angles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, everybody's like, it's never just you can meet somebody and be nice right up. Even if somebody's nice, you're staring at them like, all right, what's wrong with this person?
Yeah. Yeah.
They do. They look for angles.
Exactly. You're constantly angling on the East Coast in Jersey.
Yeah, like, what's this guy's
deal?
Why is this guy saying hi to me?
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck does he want?
Like, what does he want? or what can he do for me?
You're always being vetted.
Yeah, exactly. But buddy, I had a weekend acting here in Los Angeles. I wanted to talk about.
First of all, I saw that you never mentioned that.
Yeah, I was nervous because
it was just you and Whit.
It was me and Whit in a scene, and it's with these actors from like the actor studio, the directors from the actor studio.
So you guys taking the class together?
No. I was invited. Whitney has done some acting with these like people that are in the studio, and she's not in the actor studio, but she's been in some scenes, and she's been invited in to the actor studio a couple times to do shows. They invited me to do a scene with her like a couple months ago, and Whitney and I worked on this scene together, and it was just sort of like a collection of different scenes. The actors, the level of actors were phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the director was is a member of the actor's studio, and the writer as well. And we did this scene. We did five shows over the weekend, and it was awesome. I haven't acted on stage in a minute, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such a rewarding.
Since you were the tree in elementary school.
No, since the Pete Rose musical.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Since I was Ty Cobb. Dude, it was awesome. And
since they used your teeth as a mountain ridge in fifth grade.
Just as a lighting panel, my teeth. It was phenomenal. So the reason why I kept it under wraps because I was just nervous on. I didn't really invite anyone to it, and I just was kind of nervous on how it was going to go. But dude, as we led up to the first performance, Whitney and I was we'd work on the scene, we would rehearse with the director. It got stronger and stronger and stronger. Cut to the weekend of shows. It was so fucking awesome, bro. We slayed it. The scene that Whitney and I did. It was a comedy. You know, most of them were comedy, but then, like, some of the scenes were, you know, actory and very deep and whatever.
Some crazy shit happens. It makes everybody feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. There's, like, an abortion involved, and you're like, I thought this was
why?
A fun show.
Why?
Yeah, like, why did
Why is
this?
He beating her on stage?
Dude, the scene that we did, it was so cool. So I enter, and Whitney's, like, you know, making dinner or putting the stuff on the plate. And the long and the short of it is we're two vegetarians, and as I sit down, I notice that there's meat on the plate. Turns out she, she ran over a pheasant and wanted to, and she's like, you know, she's like into Zen, you know, Buddhism, whatever. She thought, you know, because she killed it, it would be best for it to re-enter the life cycle by her roasting it and serving it to us. And the whole scene basically takes place around this dinner table where I'm like, what the fuck you do? Like, it's crazy. You hit this thing with the Mercedes-Benz, then you roasted it. And now you want me to eat it.
Uh-huh.
And so she brings – there's like a little coffin involved. It's really, really funny scene. We had the audience in stitches. And the last performance, the audience was kind of sitting on its hands. And I'm backstage and I can hear – there's a Neil Simon scene in it as well. And they were not getting any laughs. And, you know, and the guy just came, you know, one of the actors came off stage. He was just like, bro, they're not laughing at anything. You know, it's a tight, you know.
You were like, watch this.
And I was like, watch this, kiddo.
And you put your hair gel down. hold my hair gel.
Buddy, I was so proud of Whitney, dude. We go out there and fucking wall-to-wall laughs throughout the whole scene. And then the director and some people invited me. They want me to audition for the Actor's Studio, which is
beat you for some cash.
Yeah. I know.
Hey, kid, you were great. No, why don't you come in and pay $800 a month?
I don't think it is a fee thing. I think
I'm breaking your
balls.
Yeah,
I think
relax.
The Actor's Studio. I don't know because I just don't know much about it.
You know what though? You're already suspect in my eyes, and now you're fucking yelling at me. Good for good for you. You guys did a scene with a pheasants. Nice.
But dude,
it's fucking great. That sounded. I was on the edge of my seat.
No, dude, that was.
Nah, but you know.
Dude, it was very rewarding. I just want to say that it was one of those things that you do. You know, and
well, I mean, look,
rewarding.
If you can't get laughs at stand up, you might as well do a fucking scene with your girl who probably carried you the whole time. But that's good. I'm glad. I wish I was there.
But buddy, shout out to Whitney and everyone else that performed. It was
awesome. Dude, that's awesome, man. I saw you posted that. I'm like, God, you didn't tell anybody.
Yeah,
or did you? Last
week? I didn't tell anybody. But it was fucking awesome.
We could have came.
Yeah. It was, dude. The next time I do it, we might do it in the Fringe. What we did this past weekend, we might do in the Fringe Festival here in LA. So, I'll invite people out next time.
And also, if you Pete, you're gonna be with me Thursday night, definite, right?
Oh, yeah, for
all right,
sure.
So Thursday night, I think it's February 22nd.
February 22nd,
we're at
dude.
The Irvine Improv.
Yep.
I'm headlining, and then I got PDG with me as usual, and
yes.
It'll be fun. Just come down there. Show's at 8 if you're in the Southern California area.
Yeah. Steamboat Willie just joined the group. He tweeted us. I'll get to him in Pete's tweets, but he's been out of the game a little bit. He was saying, we millennials, we got to be working. You know, he's been working a lot.
Yeah, they're trying.
So he said, he was like, I hope you guys, don't forget about me. So shout out to Steamboat Willie.
We won't be forgetting about you. But I mean, so that's good you had to play, and I've been noticing that you've been working a lot. Like, I like you on those top 10 lists.
Yeah. I've been on Access TV on the show called Top 10 Revealed.
That's weird because that's what we do, and I just thought it was weird that you're doing that and you're friends with the producer.
Right.
And you know what else is fucking funny to me is how, both you and Stevie are on my fan page on a show that I started.
Right.
Okay? And you're shitting on me out the gate. I mean, Steve with the machete story was fucking awful.
Yeah. Well,
it was just a regular knife. Do you and I have a knife on me at all times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for now, it's in the car, but
yeah.
I always carry one just in case.
So you're saying that Stevie G was exaggerating?
You
when
think
he was
a machete?
The story, the
machete. And it's like, buddy, listen, you're a brilliant actor, you're a funny kid.
Yeah.
But don't the exaggeration. If you're going to pick something, you say this thing was huge. It was like a sword,
right?
But he tried to convince the public that it was an actual machete, and I'm like, that's the comedy. That's a comedy,
right?
Faux pas,
right?
Is that the word?
Right. Faux pas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were almost there.
That was close.
Yeah. So Stevie G kind of overtold the story.
But I mean, it's one thing to exaggerate and then get back to what it was, but he was really trying to sell the machete.
He tried to convince everyone it was an actual machete.
Great actor. But have you seen
I have not seen it.
Dude, it's fucking great.
Is it?
Yeah, and the reviews are off the fucking chain.
Nice.
So shout out to Stevie G and Danny A.
Oh, Kimberly Johnson Gonzalez just did a little emoji of a fencer. So that's you. That's you with a machete.
That's me with my machete.
A story that actually happened in Las Vegas. It's a real story.
What happened was we were all in the back, and then he's like, he came with 20 people.
Yeah.
He's trying to, and I get it. He's trying to be funny. But the reality is I came with one person.
Yeah.
And it was the kid Ricky Byrne, who's a comic.
You don't strike me as the guy that shows up to the club with 10 guys.
Not at all.
Because I would tell, in my Vegas days, and I would always hook people up, and I, even if I wasn't in town, they would hit me and be like, hey, man, can I get into so-and-so? And I call the door guy, and I'm like, hey, let so-and-so in. But I always would tell the people, it's like, homie, you can't roll up with a fucking, with the Wu-Tang Clan. There can't be like 15
well,
dudes.
Well, the thing is that me and Ricky... I mean, Ricky, he's a great comedian, but he's a regular, he's a regular dude. He knows how to carry himself.
Yeah.
He worked at the Wynn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's just a good dude, a Vegas comic. So we get there, and then we're trying to get into this club. We met him at this back room.
Mm.
And so we're going through security, and the guy's checking me.
Yeah.
And then right out the gate, I'm hiding my knife in my hand as he's checking me, and then he cleared me.
Yeah.
Then I keep thinking, all right, I don't want anybody to fucking get in trouble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I tell the guy, I says, hey, man, I have this on me. Can you hold this until I get out?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, not a problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then it's just, you know, whatever. I knew I beat the security. I was happy with that. Yeah. And then I gave it to him. But the guy was barely checking me.
Yeah.
So, you know. It's a big different story from showing up with 20 guys and pulling a machete out.
Yeah.
And then you guys talking about how I steamroll conversations. That's a lie.
Oh, dude. You fucking barely get a word in. I knew a guy in Vegas who always had... I mean, a lot of people carry knives. What scared me about this guy was he would talk about stabbing. Instead of saying stabbing, he would say poke. Have you heard that, right? Which is like you're extremely, like completely downplaying the act of stabbing when you say poke. Poke is like cartoonish.
Now, you want to go in...
This guy was like, he was talking about being in the elevator at Pure at the time, which is now called Omnia, and it was an elevator in the middle of the club, and he was telling the stories like, and this guy, you know, we had words, and we wound up being in the elevator together, so I had like this confined space. I've like, you know, 30 seconds in this, you know, confined space. So I poked him like twice, and I was like... No, you stabbed him twice.
Well,
here's a fucking terrible thing to do to somebody. Now, getting back
to like the baby boomers. The baby boomers and the generation in between mine and the baby boomers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So people that are in their 60s and 55, whatever. Yeah. Knives were huge growing up. Like they all carried knives. Then they used them. My real father got stabbed.
Yeah.
You know, they used to street fight and people would stab each other.
Yeah.
I got poked with a little pocket knife here when I was a kid.
Yeah, you were stabbed with a pocket knife.
No, he cut me with it. But the thing is that, you know, people always had knives when it was like a thing.
Yeah.
Especially my dad's generation. Listen, the baby boomer generation, my grandparents' generation could get down.
Yeah.
They were real men, but they carried very quiet. A lot of them were not jerk-offs, but, you know, they'll end lives.
Yeah.
They killed people in the war. They lived there in the Depression. They came home. That's why they didn't act up so much, because they've seen a lot.
Right, right.
My dad's generation, my uncle's generation, those guys fucking got down.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't bitch made. If you ever watched that, what is it, Rubble Boys on Netflix on the 70s of all the street gangs in New York.
Yeah.
That's how New York got its reputation. You know, New York isn't what New York was, but in the 70s and 80s, those motherfuckers got down, dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They got down. So now, you know, it's a big deal to people growing up, but back then, everybody had a weapon.
Yeah.
You know, my grandfather used to make weapons. He had the leather wrapped around the fucking, as well as, you know, they also had guns, but he had like the leather wrapped around the hammer handle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I talk about it in my act, but that axe handle was real.
My stepfather used
to carry one with the tape at the bottom and the fucking nail in the top.
Yep.
You know, because you never knew what was going to pop off.
Dude, Steamboat Willie says you look like a little rascal with that hat and the fucking jean jacket.
Hey, Steamboat Willie, this is what happens. You show up now and you're taking shots. The little rascals didn't wear jean jackets.
Yeah. Anna D says, Brett can't just laugh at the absurdity of Stevie's machete story. Brett doesn't need a knife. Just exaggerate his story and watch him spontaneously combust.
Well, that would be to kill me, not to kill other people. I'm not taking anybody with me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, dude, so also I want to shout out Brian Shimura. I don't know if he's related to the guy who was on our list last week. Says, hey, guys, hope you all have a great day.
Yeah, he's always saying that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. I think we're having a pretty good day.
I am. I'm having a great day.
I'm having a great day. Well, listen, so getting back to it. So you're saying that I was on the TV with
this list. Well, here's the thing. And look, and I told you this. First of all, you know, and you never told us you were doing it.
Right.
You never said it on the show. You're friends with the executive producer.
Yeah.
Then you somehow tell me how she kind of got the idea, but you don't understand. But then you're on every episode.
Yeah.
You know, it's just suspect to me. Like, you're fucking suspect.
So what you're saying is, like, possibly, like, you're a little suspicious that I'm a traitor.
Here's my theory.
Yeah.
You two got together and said, look, we have a podcast, but I have a host, that guy that actually created the show with me.
Right.
But we need to cut him out.
I got to cut him out.
So what happened is you guys, this is what's going on up here.
Yeah.
You guys met together silently. She said, look, I'm going to have you as a contestant. Okay, I'm going to put you as a guest.
Yeah.
I'll put you on every episode, but I'm going to pay you $20,000 an episode.
I'm not going to list you as a producer or an executive producer because I don't want you to get in trouble with Brett.
With Brett, and then there's
lawsuits. I'm going to give you a silent payoff with all this big Access TV money.
So like you'll see
it's very
like
popular network.
One guest gets $40 an appearance and then you get like $50,000 just to be there.
Yeah. So they gave like Matt Pinfield.
And then somebody sent it to me. I'm not going to say who, but they looked up your bio.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even mention that the reason why you're an expert on the list, it doesn't even mention you have a show called You're on the List.
Really?
Yeah. On the bio on the Access TV site.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's weird.
But then you put it on the Icarian.
The Chiron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you put that, you put it under
so
that.
So I have a bio on the show?
Yeah. It's like, it says meet our experts. And it's
really?
Just, yeah. Same shirt. They didn't even bother to change a wardrobe.
And it doesn't mention You're on the List podcast?
Not at all. Not even once.
Oh, that's troubling.
Yeah, I know. It's
suspect. I didn't even know that there was a bio page.
So
this is like a real conspiracy is what you're saying.
It's not. I'm just saying is like, all right, put it like this. If this were 50 years ago and we were in business together.
I would have got poked.
You would have got more than poked.
Oh, man.
Pete would end up missing because you're suspect. I mean, we would have pulled you in. We would have interrogated you.
Oh, man.
But your actions of that of someone who's subversive.
Dude, Chris Maniacci says, Petey's skimming off the top. Hashtag Petey's skimming off the top.
He's skimming off the top. He's fucking, he took the idea.
And then he goes, sounds like a conflict of interest to me. Hashtag traitor.
Yeah, and not only that, is that Pete never once said or asked me about it or said anything about it.
Wow.
And then him and Stevie G get on, and it's just all kinds of suspect activity.
Oh, Anna D coming to my defense. Come on, Brett, let's spare Petey.
And
this is getting real.
It would be great if I pulled out a machete
and just fucking killed me. Well, I should say, I mean, like, I've seen the Twitter feed of You're on the List and of Brett Ernst and the mentions and stuff. Now, I got to say, Frigiano and Abdullahad have a conspiracy theory working this is real.
But they're both street guys, and they both know that this doesn't
smell right.
So
they recognize that something is not
something
right
suspect,
here. Something
yeah.
is suspect.
I think you're driving around in a brand new fucking Maserati.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You pulled a Johnny Roast Beef. You bought the car.
I'm acting in fancy plays.
Yeah. You're in this just, fucking play with your wife about pheasants.
Dude, well, I got to tell you, I mean, like, I guess I'm busted. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. This is tough for me to talk
all
about.
Right, well,
because
look, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Right. You're cleared.
Yeah,
you're cleared.
I got nothing.
You got nothing. But me, and a couple of listeners.
Can I
wanted to create this fucking real thing, and I didn't want to do. I called you last night to start the ball rolling.
Yeah,
and you believe me.
Yeah.
And then I started laughing, and I just got off it.
Dude, Betterton goes, Brett, don't do PDG like Big Pussy. Chad Lee's very disappointed. He goes, come on, Pete.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Say.
Well, let me tell you this. I mentioned this to you like over the phone. But I do. I don't want to like put her on blast. But
No. Start the Z. Listen.
I do feel like
listen.
Our podcast
I have,
was.
I have. Hold on. Hey, don't say nothing. I have a whole street team. I have a whole crew. You were greenlit.
Okay.
So I'm calling off the light. It's red.
Okay.
All right.
You're not
suspect anymore.
But I think it does bring us into a good list that we can do about traitors. You know, famous traitors.
Yeah.
You know, there's one that I thought of that
you don't have to explain
before.
Yourself. It's all good. But there is a street team out there right now.
All right. Well, thank you for letting me pass in this situation.
Yeah, you got to pass.
And I will. I'll dole out some of the.
And
you
just
know,
for the record, Pete did ask me to be on it. Yes, he told me.
Do you remember?
I did.
You were shooting in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And this is why I think we. I think.
No, whoa. Talk afterwards. Just keep it to yourself.
All right, because
she. Be smart. Be smart. Be smart.
All right, I will. I'll be quiet.
Yeah.
But it's a great list. The idea.
You're only supposed to say what you don't mean on this podcast.
Gotcha.
And you're only supposed to fucking get people riled up on things that you really don't give a fuck about and don't care about.
Exactly. Okay. You know what? You're right, because I could have said some
wrong
things.
Yes, absolutely.
And then tweets could have happened.
They could have all happened.
Could have
went
on this
end. Yeah. Don't even.
I got it.
What the fuck? Don't even hint.
All right, no tweets.
But I'm just saying, things are going good. You're doing plays.
Yeah.
You're on the show.
Yeah.
It's all good.
William Charles Shannon says, you're not a wartime consigliere, Pete. Oh, man.
Pop out a Sicilian, and this is what I got?
Oh, man.
A half Spaniard?
Oh, man. Well, we already have a good debate on on some great traders. Jay Tan says, jumping ahead a little bit, Andre the Giant as one of the top 10 traders. Y'all remember his heel turn on Hulk Hogan.
Absolutely.
A friendship destroyed just for money and the prestige of a championship belt.
That's a strong one. Put that on.
That is, dude, that's Andre the Giant.
Here's, I know. Top five, number one, hands down, is Judas.
Judas, okay.
Judas.
Okay.
Which, by the way, in his defense, I think Jesus said to him, hey, you know what you got to do, because this has to fulfill the prophecy. And I don't think he wanted to do it, but I think he had to do it. And
yeah.
He tormented him. That's why he whacked himself.
Dude, if you have to, you could get anything done if you convince someone that it's fulfilling a prophecy. Do you know what I'm saying?
Only if you're a prophet.
Right. Oh, that's true.
Like, I can't say to you, Pete, listen.
You got to build up a reputation as a prophet before you start prophesizing. I get. I didn't realize that.
Or convince people of something.
Yeah. So that's good. So, I mean, so Judas would be number one. I mean, that's biblical.
Yeah,
I mean,
Judas is number one.
You don't get bigger than the Bible. You know what I mean?
Of course not. He became the precedent.
Yep.
From all, everybody else we named from this point on was considered a Judas.
Right.
Number two, in my opinion, Benedict Arnold.
Now, do you want to educate the listener on Benedict Arnold's? Because that is the one example when people talk about a traitor, they go to Benedict Arnold. You want to tell a little bit of the history on that?
Well, Benedict Arnold was a general, I think.
Okay.
For the colonies at first. And then he betrayed us to England. He became a loyalist. Ironically, there is a statue of his honor.
Yeah.
But it's just a boot.
Okay.
Because he lost his leg in one of the wars fighting for the colonies.
Right.
And he was a respected general, but I think he switched out like a bitch. He's bitch made.
Yeah, I'm going to read a little history on it. Oh, by the way, buddy, you would have just lost your mind. I heard someone the other day. And this girl, she's like older. I mean, when I say older, she must have been late 20s. She had no idea about history. And this guy was kind of educating her on like how World War II, I mean, she didn't understand like what World War II was, like who we were fighting, that it was there was the Pacific fight and the Germans in Europe. She had no idea, and it was shocking to me. And she seemed like she was like a normal person.
It's very similar. It's just the same. Because you know why? Nobody teaches civics anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody really has pride in American history.
Yep.
Just because I'm for me doesn't mean I'm against you.
Right.
And
right.
America's history is fucking phenomenal. It's amazing.
Right.
And you know, you want to bring up oppression in our society. Well, that's a common denominator in every fucking society.
Yep.
So let's not talk about what we have in common, what makes us different. And it's a shit ton of things that's made us great. And you know, it is. It's American history and civics, how the government works, you know?
Well, this Benedict, I'm going to say.
And Benedict Arnold was you know.
I'm just going to say a couple sentences here just to, you know, inject some history to it.
Just refer to as Benedict.
Very similar to my story with Access TV. It says, while still a general on the American side,
that would be Brett's call, you're
on the list. He became commander of the West Point Fort in New York and offered to surrender to the British. After the plot came to light in September 1780, Arnold joined the British Army as a brigadier general.
Yeah.
And a sizable pension and £6,000 signing bonus, which back then is like, that's a ton of money.
Well, the thing was, is that, look, people don't realize in that war, people like your 29-year-old girl.
Yeah.
We were not supposed to win. It would be like fucking the University of Miami beating New England.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
or the Falcons winning the Super Bowl.
Well, that would be more likely.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be two matched teams. We're talking about not matched.
Right.
Same thing when we went up against Mexico with Guadalupe Hidalgo and Santa Anna. And,
Guadalupe.
You know, they had a legit army that you know, Americans, we were just a ragtag bunch of fucking gavones.
Right.
Quote me on that. And then we ended up kicking the shit out of people and winning our independence. You know, that's the other thing too, man, without getting into the politics of it, because we're not. What just happened in Florida, just for the record, my close friend was the principal of that school. My best friend, John, who was in my wedding party, his wife's sister was the teacher in that one classroom where the three kids were murdered.
Oh, God.
Two of my other friends, very close friends, not like guys I know.
Yeah.
I mean, really close friends. They had daughters in the school.
Yep.
So it was just a fucking tragedy.
Yeah.
Across the board. But the history of guns in America is so enriched, is why we're having this fucking debate.
Yeah.
But when you, like, Australia was given their independence, America literally had to take it. And I'm not telling you what side. I'm actually not even going to touch it. I don't really give a fuck. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, so when you look at the history of how America beat Great Britain, or you know, the King George, it was a big, it's one of the biggest upsets,
right,
in you know, history. Like Dallas, America was probably, if you bet America in the money line, you were probably at plus 900.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just shouldn't have happened. And we won with the help from France. Everybody right. forgets that.
Right, right.
But Bendicchio Arnold, when he went into this, he knew, he didn't think we were going to win. So, right. he switched sides because he's bitch made.
Yeah, dude. So I'm going to put Benedict Arnold as number two.
And you know number three is fucking Fredo.
Fredo for number three. You know what I was thinking, dude?
But I mean, can I ask you this?
Everyone knows that line. What is the line from Godfather?
In my house?
No.
Where my wife sleeps?
No.
And my children play with their toys.
When he says, Fredo, I always knew it was you, right? What's the actual line?
I knew it was you.
I knew it was you, right? You know what other great traitor line, which is huge in literature, whatever, in the culture? Et tu, Brute? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, of course. You too, Brutus.
Right.
That's when they whack Caesar.
Exactly. So which does Fredo or Brutus, who's higher on this list?
Look, we got to go Brutus because it really, you know,
I mean, that's,
accordingly, it was, you know.
That's a big one.
Yeah, it's real.
Is it cool if I put
Brutus
at number
absolutely.
Three? Okay.
Brutus is strong. That's a strong pick.
Yeah, that was the one that I thought of that we didn't talk about before. And I was like, oh, dude, that's a big one. So I'm going to put
Fredo at four. A Bagoda in The Godfather? He fucking betrayed Michael.
Yeah.
He's worse than Fredo, in my opinion.
Right. I'm going to go to...
Can I get a pass for old time's sake?
That's a good one. Misty Hunt said Sammy the Bull.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
The Bull's a big one.
Oh, my gosh. That's a good call.
Yes, yeah, Sammy the Bull.
Wait, I'm going to just read some of the listeners and watchers, some of their two cents on this. Let's see. So J-Tan with Andre the Giant, that's a big one.
That's a good one.
That was a good one.
That's a strong one.
Paul Castellano is a big traitor, says Betterton.
You know what?
Dude, Steamboat Willie says Johnny Damon. What? Because he went from the fucking...
There's the millennial answer. He went from the Red Sox to the Yankees.
Sammy Gravano, big traitor. Hitler invading USSR was a dick traitor move.
Yeah, you think? Yeah, but he wrote about it. They knew that's their own fault. That's their own fucking fault.
Oh, this is a pretty good one. Favre playing for the Vikings.
I don't think he was a traitor in that. I disagree with that.
Jim McMahon playing for the Packers.
Put Salvatore Tessio on there.
Now, what was Salvatore? Oh, yeah, Tessio is Frigiano.
No, Tessio's a Bagoda.
Yeah, Tessio. I'm saying Frigiano said
Tessio. Yeah, but I had to look up his first name before I said it.
So we're going to put Tessio. I'm going to put it lower down the list. I don't want to do
No, it's a smart move.
Which one? I mean, he's not in the top five.
No, that's what Michael said when it's
Tessio. Oh, okay,
Tessio.
I got you.
It was a smart move.
I'm going to put Tessio near the end and then just...
Salvatore Tessio. You got to put that on
Salvatore, there. Okay.
In my house?
Yeah.
Where my wife sleeps and my children play with their toys. You know what? I gotta see if I can get my friend on the line. He could do the whole boat scene. It's the fucking greatest thing you've ever heard in your life. Let me see if I can call him.
Talking
traders. No, but you got to hear that. He can do the whole Fredo scene. It's fucking the greatest thing you've ever seen.
If you are watching here on Facebook Live, why don't you go ahead, give us your...
it's 33 past the hour.
Give us your top picks for traders. We have Chad Lee says Kevin Durant.
Strong.
Let's see. Mike Vinn says Henry Hill, that fucking rat, and don't
Henry
think,
Hill's
yeah.
a strong one.
Yeah, Henry
That's a
Hill
good one.
Is a good one. So
see,
Tessio. People are saying Tessio. Let's see. We got Sammy the Bull again. A lot of Fredo quotes. Henry Hill, big pussy.
Yeah, big pussies are fucking strong.
How about Italy in World War II? Just saying.
Yeah. Hey, yo, cuz, really quick, man. You're on my we're on my podcast. I need you to do the boat scene from.
No, it sounds good. Just let go, do it.
Does it?
Mic.
It doesn't sound good for me. Can you? All right, ready? I'm going to say action and. All right, hold on. Quiet on the set. All right, ready, and go.
I haven't got a lot to say, Mike. I was kept pretty much in the dark. Is there anything you can tell me now? Is there anything you can help me Oh, they got paid tangibly. That's all I can tell you. I swear to God, Mike, I didn't know it was going to be a hit. Johnny Olaf bumped into me in Beverly Hills. He said that you and old man Ross were in on a big deal together. And if I could help him close the deal fast, that it'd be good for the family. And you believe that? He said there'd be something in it for me on my own. I've always taken care of you. For taking care of me? You're my kid brother and you take care of me? Huh? You ever think about that? You ever once think about that? Send Fredo to the airport. Send Fredo to do this. Have Fredo run some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I'm your older brother, Mike, and I was stepped over. That's the way Papa wanted it. That's the way I wanted it. I'm smart. Like people say.
Yes!
Oh my
Isn't that fucking
God.
Tremendous? He's that still was, going.
That is amazing.
Isn't that fucking great?
Oh my God. That was amazing.
I'm at work right now too.
I gotta go. All right. Love you, buddy. Later, Karen. Later.
Dude, so.
Isn't that fucking
so
strong?
Michael was at work.
He was. Michael was at work.
Dude,
don't I have the greatest friends.
Dude, he was going back and forth, and like
oh,
he did the volume adjustment from
he does it
from
at parties.
Fredo to, oh, dude, that was amazing.
Dude, I have another friend of mine that can do the whole. I gotta take this off. It's hot in here. That can do the whole.
Dude, that was amazing.
In First Blood.
Yeah.
When he names the Baker team.
Kevin Stort just joined. What's up, Kevin Stort?
Hey, what's up,
Kevin Stort of JR's Ocean Bar and Grill in Seaside Park, New Jersey. Oh, I'm sorry, Seaside Heights.
Yeah, dog.
Right on the line, right on the line.
What are you doing? Why are you disrespecting it?
No, dude.
Oh, wait, shout out to fucking Bob Frigiano. Revolution Graphics. Look what he designed right back there.
We got a couple of those. So I only brought one. What we will do is we'll put the second one on the other side to balance it.
Well, when we move to the All Things Comedy studio, it'll really look good.
It'll pop.
It'll fucking look
nice fucking
in your face.
Pop. Dude, so one more time, can you shout out your friend?
That was Kieran.
What's his name?
I'll add him on my thing.
Kieran?
Kieran, yeah. Now,
dude, what an amazing performance that was.
Well, years and years ago, me, Bert Kreischer, and Theo Vaughn, we did a pilot for TBS. It was called Frat House. Uh-huh. Oh, wait, was it called Frat House? Yeah. But basically, they had Frat House. It was like a reality show. I can't think of the name of it. It was years ago. And we played ourselves, and we literally, it was based off of Bert, in a sense, where he was he was like Van Wilder, but we wanted to get our youth back. So you had all these 30-something guys recruit these other guys, and we started a fraternity, and it was the best fucking 2 weeks of my life.
Yeah.
We lived in a house.
The best.
So this guy was my first pick because he was sitting there. He was from the Bronx, I think, or Westchester County, somewhere up in there. I want to say the Bronx. Mm. And that was his special talent, and I was sold. And
dude, that was
my first pick. Yeah, it was fucking strong.
That was amazing. Dude, I you know, I'm sorry I'm repeating myself, but that was just fucking awesome. I was very impressive. Getting back here, we are talking about the top 10 traitors. Bruce Cosby says Robert Ford.
Yeah. Who else was a traitor? Was
John, what's his name, who killed John Lennon? Oh, yeah. Hinckley?
Yeah, Hinckley. But he wasn't a traitor. He was just he didn't betray anybody. He was just a fucking psychopath.
Betterton says Eazy-E for fucking the rest of NWA. That's kind of that should be.
I don't count that. I'm talking about I'm not talking about tiffs and fucking beefs.
Yeah.
And that type of shit. I'm talking about stabbing somebody in the back while you're still looking them in.
See, this is one. I do a little material on this one. It's a great call from Steamboat Willie. The fucking Verizon guy.
Oh, yeah.
Going to Sprint. And then claiming that Sprint was better the whole time.
I understand that.
Oh.
You guys switched out.
Ah.
Now we could put him on the list.
I think the Verizon guy's a funny pick. I think, dude, the Verizon guy goes on the list. I mean, it's going to be, he's going to be number 9. But
who do we have so far?
That's hilarious.
Who do we have?
Right now we have Salvatore Tessio, Fredo, right. Brutus, Benedict Arnold, or how do you say it?
Bendicchio
Arnold, and Judas. Judas is number one, obviously.
What about the fucking couple that the spies?
The spies, yes.
What were their names? The two Jewish people.
Right, the two Jewish people. This is Julius and Ethel Rosenberg.
The Rosenbergs.
And you learn about these guys in history class, but it's almost like there's been later traitors that have almost out-traitored these people.
Well, not at the time, though. I mean, it was, you know, we were never on the verge of losing our freedom.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we were at a world war.
Right. It's in 1953, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were the first American civilians executed under Section 2 of the Espionage Act. So they these guys were fucking...
Well, they had high-level security clearance or something, right?
Yeah, charges related to passing atomic bomb secrets... Yeah, dude, to Russian agents.
Dude, they started the Cold War.
Yeah.
So fuck them.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
And
but-
dude, that's one secret that, you know, you can't... When it comes to some secret you shouldn't talk about, it'd be like the atomic bomb. Well, that'd be a big one.
Well, that's the other thing. People are like, how come other countries get to... How come America has to have nuclear weapons and we don't? Because it was our patent.
Yeah.
It's our product. It got stolen from us and then sold on the black market.
Exactly. So charges related to
passing atomic bomb
secrets to Russian agents. The data came from Ethel's brother, who worked on the Manhattan Project in Los Alamos. Their legal prosecution... was the quote-unquote trial of the century, prior to OJ at least, and many felt the couple were unfairly convicted. However, recently declassified cables from the Soviet Union now support testimony that Julius was indeed a courier and recruiter for the USSR.
Okay, there we
go. So, yeah, so it turns out the guy was a
Let me shock you with some fucking some history here.
Okay.
And this is what people don't realize and why people, and myself included, understand the history of the Socialist, Nazi, and Communist Party in America.
Okay.
Okay? Those were real parties up until World War II.
Yeah.
There were literally groups of people in America that were petitioning for communism and socialism in America.
Right.
And it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work. I don't want to hear your fucking arguments on it. Anybody that is close, that remembers our grandparents and even older than our grandparents will tell you it opens the door. It's just a whole can of worms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
So this was a legitimate push in America.
Yeah.
So when World War II broke out, there were spies that were here from Japan. There were German spies that were here. They were captured. They were put in internment camps. There were German internment camps. Even the mafia went to the United States government and said, look,
yep,
we know we're going to get Italy on your side. Let us handle fucking Mussolini.
Yep.
Luciano sent the message all the way from Italy to the United States government.
Yep.
And they said, look, we're here now. We're proud to be Americans. We're literally letting you know we fucking exist, which was another problem.
Yep.
But we need, and you know, but Luciano also was trying to get back here.
Yeah.
But they literally whacked Mussolini and said, "Don't worry, we'll handle our own shit." You know what I mean? So this was a real threat. Even the Red Scare that was in Hollywood, there were a bunch of communist writers. Now, not all of them, but that was legit.
Yeah.
Just like there are open communist people now.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a legit scare back then. Now I'm not saying they didn't run rampant with it, but there were fucking communist, there were spies. There was real espionage.
Oh, no, for sure.
So
no,
people think it's just, it just, they hear about it. Just Google it. You're at your desk. Research it.
Yeah. I do want to mention, Brett.
Although I am for advocating that with, I mean, if that's what you feel, but here's the thing. You can't claim it's your constitutional right, but then want to put in a system that's going to eliminate the Constitution.
Right.
Because then it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost like, now if you're like, if you want to keep the Constitution and try and figure out different ways, then let's all brainstorm on that.
Right, right.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about legitimate movements to oust the United States government. And it was real. And they had fucking, they did have people here. And there was a whole bunch of shit going on.
Yeah. Someone
so those
just
two
said,
were traitors.
Someone just said Jane Fonda.
Yeah, that's a big one. Do you know what she did?
Chris Dickens said Jane Fonda.
I'll put her on the list. I don't give a shit. I'm not afraid of the Hollywood elite.
I think there might be bigger ones than her.
No, you
but
know
during,
what she did?
During the height
Do
of
you
the
know
Vietnam
what she
War
did?
In 1972, film starlet Jane
Wait, hold
Fonda
on. Let me explain. Without reading that, I'm going to tell you because I hope they mention this. So during a visit, there were POWs that handed her their social security numbers hidden, like secretly, to let the government know they were alive.
Right.
And she turned them in.
Wow.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Google that.
Yeah. So
I hope that's what my. That's what my grandfather and my stepfather.
She visited North Vietnam and shilled for the North Vietnamese government, screeching the American prisoners of war were being treated humanely. She was like, oh, they're being treated.
They weren't. Obviously.
She then went on to condemn all U.S. soldiers as war criminals.
Yeah, fuck her. Put her on the fucking
list. On
hearing
that, many POWs claim to have been tortured. Fonda denounced them as liars. Whoa.
Yeah, fuck her.
How would she know?
She doesn't fucking know. She's another fucking Hollywood
asshole.
She's
like, I'm an actress. Trust me.
Yeah, trust me. I get.
They're being treated fine, and they're liars. What a C, dude.
And then,
Jane Fonda's on the list.
Yeah, fucking put her on the list. I don't give a shit. She's not her father.
Yeah, Jane Fonda is on the
list.
And
she's still pushing that bullshit.
Hey, dude, I'm going to put the Rosenbergs in the top five, okay? And I'm going to put Jane Fonda on the list as well. She's going to be number six.
My uncles were telling me about that she did that they were giving that. I'm almost positive. Let me look, though, because that could just be people teaming up on her, too. Hold on, let me see. Security.
I got some good ones here. Mike Vinn says Suge for killing Pac. Live in the studio.
Let's see what Snopes has to say because you know they tend to be fair.
Cain from the Bible for turning on Abel.
That's a big one. That was before Judas.
Timothy McVeigh turning on the American people.
That's a good one too.
How about old Kate Winslet screwing over a husband that took care of her ass for Leo in The Great Beyond?
Snopes said that it's false that she didn't do that.
It's false. She
yeah,
didn't
but let's
do
see.
That.
Let's see. But Snopes is in the. We've Snopes has been proven to be.
No, I think that Snopes is probably right on.
No,
that
it's column. Not because they've been proven. It's like two people that they're not reputable.
I don't know.
They are. They're one sided, man.
Why'd you go to Snopes?
Because I just want to see what they said. I'm going to truthorfiction.com.
Which is, you know, that's a good...
They're saying truth. And fiction.
Betterton says, so
the
this
truth.
List contains
the rumor
both
has
real
once
life.
Again gone viral that news of film where actress Jane Fonda will be trying. The film is called The Butler and is about men who served as butlers under eight presidents in the United States. Update, a version of this e-rumor had begun circulating in 2000, saying the president honored Jane Fonda. The version has been circulating. Okay.
How do you feel about that? Well, listen, dude, we only have a couple of spots left.
Here, take her off. Take her off.
Okay.
Take her off.
I'm going to take her off. We got two spots left.
Although my
I think there's bigger ones than that.
But if she did, wait, hold on. If she did that, that's why they put her on that list, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If she did that for real, that's fucking horrible. Now, the only thing
she definitely did say that the POWs were liars and stuff.
Okay, so put her back on.
Yeah, yeah.
Put her back on.
That's pretty bad, dude. That's pretty fucking bad. You know, you can't...
See, this is what everybody from that era is saying. For those of you who don't remember, Hanoi Joy is a bad person, did some terrible things during the Vietnam War, things that cannot be forgiven. In memory of Lieutenant Colonel Thompson Wieland, who spent 100 days at the Hanoi Hilton, if you never forwarded anything in your life, forward this so that everyone will know. Because my uncles told me the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Book of Barbara Walters wrote, unfortunately, many have forgotten and still countless others have never known how Miss Fonda betrayed not only the idea of our country, but specific men. This can't be the same Barbara Walters.
Yeah, that just might be a lady named Barbara Walters.
Yeah, I'm not fucking with this center. Put her on there anyways.
Should be the dude, Hassan, who did that shooting.
That guy's that guy's on the list too.
Yeah,
because he was for the military, unless he was a spy.
Yeah,
but he was you know he was in our military. He was
He was a U.S. Army major, and the sole suspect. Yeah, Fort Hood. That's right, the military base. Only weeks before he would have had to have been deployed. So I mean, he was definitely you know some dude that was I guess radicalized. And just took things into his own hand. That's kind of depressing. See, the thing is, I like that we're putting some fun picks on there because I think Andre the Giant's just a fun pick that should go on the list. But I think the top end of the list will be all serious ones, such as you know the Rosenbergs and
Nadil Malik. Okay, I'm on factcheck.org.
Okay.
Okay.
What are you telling me?
It said that Jane Fonda in Vietnam. It is true that Fonda, an actress and activist, traveled to Hanoi, North Vietnam in 1972 to protest U.S. She delivered several messages on the communist country's radio Hanoi, encouraging American soldiers not to bomb the North Vietnamese. She also reportedly called freed American prisoners of war hypocrites and liars for claiming they had been tortured by their captors. And she was infamously photographed posing warmly with a group of North Vietnamese soldiers in anti-aircraft gun sight during her visit there. Her actions earned her the moniker Hanoi Joy. From war veterans to that era still harbor bad feelings toward her for this day. But whatever one may think of Jane Fonda's visit to Hanoi, she did not do some of the things claimed in this email. In fact, some of the claims were debunked. Okay, just put her on there.
Yeah.
Just for that alone.
John Walker Jr., he snuck into the Soviet embassy in Washington, D.C. in 1967 and offered to sell secrets. He then handed over settings for the KL-47 cipher machine. That's just me with a backpack. Which decoded sensitive U.S. Navy messages. His motivations were purely financial, and he proved to be a screaming bargain. Over the next 17 years, Walker gave the KGB the locations of all American nuclear submarines, as well as the procedures the U.S. would follow to launch nuclear missiles at the Soviet Union at the in the event of war. So this guy definitely paid off, and it seems like he did not, you know, he deciphered millions of messages, and they had, yeah, so he was bad. I mean that's pretty much the epitome of being a traitor is when you turn
right,
on your country.
That's a traitor right
that's
there.
That's a traitor right there, yeah. So, buddy, we have – let me just run the list real fast, and then I want you to tell me what
who,
you –
who we add and who we take off.
Right, right. Salvatore Tessio.
Absolutely.
Stays on.
Yeah.
The Verizon guy.
He's suspect. We'll keep him. Do we have 10 or over 10?
We have two spots open.
Fuck him too.
I just love that the Verizon guy is on the list.
Fuck him.
Fuck
you. Sprint sucks. Yeah, I'm on it.
We have Salvador Tessio, Verizon guy, Andre the Giant, Jane Fonda, the Rosenbergs, Fredo, Brute.
Brute is you jerk off.
Yeah, I know.
Not Brute.
I know.
By Fabergé.
Benedict Arnold.
Bendicchia.
And Judas. So
where's Pete Giovine on that list?
Wow. Why don't I put myself on the list at number 7?
No, you're not. Yeah, you. I think you're right after. You're before Tessio.
I'm right after Jane Fonda. Right before Andre the Giant. Can we do that? Can I put myself on the list?
You're before Jane Fonda. Fuck you, Pete.
Yeah, I think that's great, dude. I think that's what I'm gonna do. Buddy, what I'm going to do is I'm going to finish out this list here. I want to do Pete's Tweets brought to you by JR's Ocean Bar and Grill, and then just talk to you about any other things that you want to mention or plug before we take off here. I thought this was a fun episode. I want to shout out everyone that was on the Facebook Live. Got some great suggestions from you guys. A couple of them made the list. Kudos to you. Guys, we have Pete's Tweets. Brought to you by JR's Ocean Bar and Grill.
And Revolution Graphics.
And Revolution Graphics, sure.
And Maruka's Pizza.
Maruka's Pizza. Get those tomato pies.
What? Go ahead. Yeah. You always disregard Revolution Graphics.
Well, if Revolution Graphics wants to be an official sponsor, they need to up their Patreon, pal.
Well, fuck the Patreon. They keep sending us. He does all kinds of work pro bono.
That's true. He works. He does other stuff. I like that.
Yeah.
Right.
You see what I mean? You see what I mean, Pete?
See,
you're like a fucking.
I'm a traitor, dude.
You are
a traitor.
He created the logo, made our T-shirts,
Black
sent
Panther,
us the banners.
Black
How
Panther.
The fuck is that? That's like $2,000 worth of work right there.
Black Panther. No, I'm just joking. I shout out.
Hey,
to
did
Bob
you
Frigiano,
see Black Panther?
Revolution. No, I haven't seen it yet.
I want to see it.
I haven't seen it yet.
I'm waiting until the crowd's
Black Panther. This is Jay Tan. He always has a good new name for us. He says, more sports scumbags than you can name in an hour. In the MMA world, John Jones probably tops it. Also, War Machine should have been on that list as well. He beat the shit out of that girl. In the MMA world, John Jones probably tops
scumbag.
It.
War Machine's a scumbag, right?
We should have mentioned him at least.
He's gone forever, right?
Yeah, I think. You think he's done. Felony hit and run on pregnant woman, fled scene of a crime on foot, left a weed pipe in the car, 2 times busted for roids.
Who's this?
Positive test for coke, etc. John Jones from the MMA. So, yeah.
But here's the thing. Yeah, hitting somebody and fleeing, but they didn't die, right?
I don't think so.
See, all right, here's my one thing, and I'm not...
We put the murderers up top.
The murderers are up top.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the other thing. If you're a professional athlete and you're banging hookers and you're doing blow,
right?
Why are you a scumbag, but yet a rock star or a fucking actor or some jerk off comic that nobody knows is okay?
Yeah.
That's the drama club hating the football team.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. I agree.
Look, all of my friends have done some fucked up shit like that, and are they scumbags? Yeah. But at the same time, you know, it's not not a big deal. When you're murdering women, fucking killing, raping, fucking all that shit, then you're a piece of shit. If you're using steroids and drugs and fucking numerous adults that are adults and there's permission, you're not a scumbeg. You're just a fucking degenerate.
Steamboat Willie, Kyle Aronofsky, he says, great episode with the best guest, meaning Stevie G. He says, sorry, I've been MIA lately. Might come as a surprise to Brett, but some of us millennials are out here working and getting our edumacations. Love you, boys, and don't forget about me. We love you, Steamboat Willie.
I know. Wait, really quick, Steamboat Willie. Why would you say that? I'm a big champion of the millennials.
No, he.
Nah, but you know what?
Yeah.
Get a job, bum.
Michael Krull, I think this is a guy that just saw me on the Access thing. He says that maybe I'm just jealous of your full head of hair. But what the hell is that on your head? It looks like a helmet with wings.
Listen, you people have no idea. All right, I'm just going to explain it to them. And really quick. You ever see Spider-Man and then all of a sudden Venom comes and it was that alien fucking mitochondria whatever that breathes and lives? That's that right there. That thing right there has its own opinions.
Yeah.
Its own thing. Yeah. Half the time it's speaking for Pete.
Frigiano, in honor of today's list, 4 days ago, he wrote, if I were to name the last episode of the podcast, I would call it hashtag Fredo. Shake my head. This is how Van Halen started before breaking up.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Pete's breaking up the team.
We love you, Frigiano. We love you. And also, I just want to, Black Panther, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but this is really funny.
He said, is funny, man.
He said he just loved the quotes. I saw the movie where the girl fucks the fish. I might have mentioned this one before. That was your quote when you're talking about the Shape of Water. And then my quote was, the guy who plays the sea monster guy, he plays a lot of superheroes. So that was hashtag Brett and Pete at the movies. We might do a side-off, spin-off Brett and Pete at the movies review when we get to All Things Comedy.
Yeah, dude.
That might be a good idea. That might be a good idea.
I'm ready for movie reviews. Oh, man.
Yeah, that would be great.
I want to see Black Panther, man.
Oh, yeah, we got it. We got to check that out.
I've been hearing, and look, you know, you see the white people on their virtue signaling.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm sure the movie's dope.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it, but just as a superhero fan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait.
I can't wait to see it.
But
too.
How is it that. And again, these are the right wing.
If we were celebrating a movie where it was just all whites.
But wait, but I'm saying like the right wing assholes start to act like that this is really a fucking, oh, they're all excited. Yeah, so what?
Yeah,
they're excited. They're happy about the movie. God bless them.
That's inspirational.
Yeah, I mean, granted there was Blade and they didn't give a fuck about Blade, but Black Panther is Blade didn't encompass Africa and a culture.
Yeah.
And you know, and whether you think that they're overreacting or not.
Yeah.
That's genuine happiness.
Yeah.
So enjoy the movie. But exactly. Me personally, I'm not going where there's a crowd.
Yep.
Okay? And you know, the joke has been done 1,000 times. No, everybody has to see it twice because the audience is talking through the whole movie and all kinds of shit. That's done. I like to go at the midnight shows when it's just me.
Yep.
I can sit back, relax. I'm a huge fan of the comic books. Of comic books in general. Did I read Black Panther? No, but he's been around since, I think, 1969.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's just not... That's the other thing. I love how everybody keeps rediscovering things as if they're new. Yeah. It's been around forever. So I don't know why you didn't buy the comic books and support it now. Maybe you didn't know about it.
Exactly.
But it's here.
Yeah.
And let's have fun and enjoy the movie.
Let's check it out.
Why does everything have to be fucking political?
Well, listen, we're going to run down the top 10 traitors... right now, so make sure you guys check out before we read the list. Make sure you go to hairandteeth.com. Go to brettcomedy.com and check out Brett's new special. And follow us on @YOTL podcast on Twitter, on Instagram. Go to the Patreon page, patreon.com/YOTL. We got t-shirts going out to our VIPs coming soon. The top 10 traitors of all time.
Hold on.
Yeah.
And this Thursday, February 22nd, me and Pete will be at the Irvine Improv together again.
Yes. Oh, and I also want to shout out
the
real
teams,
fast, too.
The band's back together.
If you're in LA, I mean, you're going to miss tonight's show, but if you're in LA, if you live in LA, I'm running a new room at a place called Laser Cat on Sunset Boulevard. It's right between the Laugh Factory and the Comedy Store. It's right in that sweet spot next to the Body Shop, which is a strip club. We got great comics tonight. I got Amir Kay, and I want you to do the show. Campanelli, Theo Vaughn's going to be on the show. So it's going to be an awesome local room that has top-level comedians, so come to Laser Cat Tuesday nights at 9 p.m.
Every Tuesday at 9?
Every Tuesday at 9. So weekly.
And again, you know, if you want to see Pete do 5 minutes at the laser tag place, or if you want to fucking come to a real comedy club and watch headlining and Pete do at least 25.
Yeah, exactly.
Then Thursday,
Thursday.
Come to the Irvine Improv.
Come to the Irvine
Jane
Improv.
Jane Fonda is going to be hosting.
Get your tickets.
We'll have fucking everybody there.
Irvine Improv, such a good time at the Spectrum, so make sure you get out there for the February 22nd. Ladies and gentlemen, at number 10, your biggest traitors, Salvador Tessio. At number 9, the Verizon guy. At number 8, Andre the Giant. At number 7, Pete Giovine. Yeah. At number 6, Jane Fonda. At number 5, the Rosenbergs. At number 4, Fredo. Number 3, Brutus et tu, Brute. At number 2, it's Benedict Arnold. And at number 1, of course, you can't get more biblical than this guy. He fucked up. He did some things.
Judas, you rat bastard.
Judas.
You
Judas
rat.
Is number 1.
You're a
Judas
fucking
is number
rat.
1. We want to thank you guys for staying tuned on the – we had a great viewership
Wait,
here.
Was Sammy the Bull on there?
Sammy the Bull was not on there. We're going to put him as an honorable mention.
I think we should put him over the Verizon guy.
All right. Well, all right. We'll put Sammy.
And I
the
think
Bull
you
there.
Go over Jane Fonda.
Okay. Guys, thank you for paying attention and tuning into the Facebook Live. We need you guys on there to have some fun, so we appreciate that. Other than that, dude, I'm going to walk into that room and turn the thing off. And if
all
you
right.
want to say anything,
I'll
else,
just say some other things to yeah. people.
Call your mom. Make okay. sure you call your mom.
Make sure you call your mothers. Hey guys, Pete's been cleared, okay? I had him checked out. He's not suspect anymore. Oh, really quick, don't hang it up yet. If you're in Baltimore, March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, I'm going to be at Magoobies Comedy Club. Look it up. It's dope. And that's about it. Love you guys. Make sure you check my special at brettcomedy.com, and you make sure you call your mothers. God bless.